Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that. Let's get right back into the episode.
So she's like, thank you. Wow, look at that. Well, this is Bulgari. This is Chanel. This one is...
So tacky. I love how tacky Jennifer Tilly is. It's amazing how I find it gross with Amanda, but I find it hilarious with Jennifer. I don't care. She's like,
guess what? Well, you'll never guess who made this. Chanel is a one of a kind.
I guess the thing is, it feels like with Jennifer, it feels like she put some effort into researching this stuff, learning about it, sourcing it, getting it, owning it. Like it has like the pedigree of like someone who is a collector and an enthusiast, as opposed to someone like Amanda, who's like, I saw something that was expensive and I bought it and I put it on and I'm wearing it and I'm telling you about it. Right. Like there's a sense with Jennifer of like pride and joy.
This artistry
curated this. There really is. And in a way that also is what makes Rachel Zoe, when she does go shopping, it is more fun to watch than like someone else going shopping, because for her, it really is kind of like, this is her get down. And this is her quote unquote art. Right.
So it's, I think, like, that's people how Jennifer who pulls know fashion, as opposed to some lady from Oklahoma with a fanny pack walking in and just buying something that says LV all over it. That's what it is.
Las Vegas. That's where I'm having my egg houses. Did you use the agency?
I'll put six eggs on the 00. Wish me luck.
Does that count as eight eggs then? 00.
Get it. Yeah, it's a roulette bet.
So Sutton's like, well, after spending some time with Amanda, I have some reservations, because Amanda's coming in. She's like, hi, how are you, everybody? She's kind of doing Kyle's like, hi, how are you, kind of thing to everybody. And Sutton does not like this girl. She's like, I have some reservations. Really? Because you didn't have reservations when you were planning that trip, airport, restaurant, forcer. And she's like, and I think she is much more calculated than I thought. Right. I squint.
But also says the woman who's like actively always trying to become Kyle Richards' bestie, and she's complaining about someone being calculated. And that's like, Kyle's the queen of that. Okay. So then, of course, now here we have arrived at the let's see what everyone is wearing section. So it's like, look at my Kelly bag. Look at my Kelly bag. Look at my mini Kelly bag. And, you know what's so funny, Ronnie? I'm sure you were looking for this too, but we guested on Amy Odell's podcast, Back Row, which will be coming out soon. And Amy Odell is a fashion writer. And we talked about fashion on The Real Housewives. And one thing that Amy informed us of, which of course we didn't know, because as we've mentioned before, we're not fashion gays, is that you're not supposed to have your nice Hermes bags unclasped and unbuckled. And so now I noticed, and these bags were all flopping all over the place.
All of every single one of them. It is funny, because she's like, why are their bags always open? And I was like, I never really thought about it, but yeah, I noticed the same thing in this scene. Like every bag is just falling open.
Flopped open. And I was like, now I can't not see it. And it's so funny to me. Big floppy open Hermes bags.
And Dorit bought an $11,000 mini Kelly. And she's like, I bought it for me birthday because I just signed a Libra deal. That's book in French or Spanish. Who knows? Who knows, really? Probably both. Dorit, you have $5 to your name, and you spent the first money from your advance on an $11,000 purse. Girl, you got to start worrying about them kids. Come on now.
I know. By the way, I was like, got paranoid that I was misstating something. So I Googled, are Hermes bags supposed to be open? And the first thing that comes up is something on Reddit, which is a shot of Bethany Frankel, of all people, holding a bag. And someone says, I just need to know other people's opinions here, as I will never be able to own an Hermes bag, so I have no idea. But is the clasp open like a look? Are they difficult to lock shut? Because I see so many celebs posing with them open, it drives me nuts. And apparently, they are very difficult to open and close. And that's why.
Yeah, that's what Amy was telling us on the show, that they're notoriously difficult to open, and that's why people did it. remember, because I was like, well, why? That pisses me off about expensive things. It's like, oh, wow, here's your $15,000 bag. Good luck closing it. Like, your $15,000. It should be like electronic. It should be hooked to my brain where I say close my purse and then it closes. Like, why are things more terrible when they're more expensive and more of a pain in the ass? You know, I just don't get that.
I would like to try to open one and close it. And then I will be the final judge on how hard it is, because I mean, I can see it being stubborn, but I would also like to know. I would like to source an Hermes bag and be like,
spend 11 grand,
please. Thank you.
Yeah. Go get yourself an 11 grand bag.
I'm just going to touch it and see how it goes. You know what? It makes me think of something that I actually think of all the time, almost every single day, which is the shot from a few years ago when Dorit filled a teapot from the spout instead of the top. Remember when she did that? And I said, why are you doing that? You don't remember
when. Instead of the top. What do you mean? Like she was putting the water into the little tiny hole instead of the big hole?
Yeah. She had the front. Oh, do you remember that? Okay. And
that's funny.
Here's why I think
that's
of
so
that.
Dorit.
Because there are times when I am refilling my tea kettle and I, you know, the spout is open, and sometimes you think, I could just angle this whole thing. So I just refill it right like that, like Dorit does. But I'm like, that's so lazy. The least I can do is close that spout and open the top part and fill it up from there. Like that's all I have to do. And so when I think of the Hermes bags with like Dorit and Bethany just leaving them dangling open, I was like, you can't do the simplest thing just to close them up.
Well, apparently it's not simple, because there's entire articles written about it and now multiple podcasts talking about it. So
it just speaks to a pattern of behavior with Dorit. First the tea kettle, then the Hermes bags.
But I like that Dorit has seeped into your personal life like that over the years too. Like it's been a thing that's been going on for years. And I love that for Dorit, because she's talking about how impactful her book is. Like you didn't even need to write a book. You've affected Ben's life to this point just from filling a tea kettle. I mean,
I can't. I can't believe you don't remember the tea kettle moment. There's actually a thread. I just did a search for Dorit tea kettle to show you a picture. And there is a thread on Reddit. There's a picture of Dorit filling the tea kettle from the spout. And the headline is, was Dorit ever likable? Like, this is such an obnoxious way to fill a tea kettle. But the truth is that a lot of people, when she did that, a lot of people admitted that that's how they fill their tea kettles as well.
And then it became like a thing. Like, how do you fill your tea kettle? Let's vote. We're putting up a poll.
Sorry, everyone. Yeah. I took this to a weird place.
Interesting stuff. So Sutton's like, she's proud of Dorit, I guess, or she's pretending to be, because she's like new Sutton, because she's had a therapy session with Reba. So she's like, well, you know, I think when you get divorced, it's important to have ownership in your life that's not connected to a man. And that's really amazing. And it's important. It's important. So and that's congratulations to Dorit.
It's important to have ownership of something that's not connected to a man, but is about a man instead, unburdened on shelves in April. So then everyone's going, book deal, book deal, book deal, book deal. You know, it's so nice to get support from these ladies. Like, finalmente. That means at last in some language. I'm not sure. So
file me nails as soon as possible. They're getting really, really long, I think, probably. Who cares? So they come back to the party, and Natalie is the first one to sit with the tarot card reader. And the tarot card reader is like, wow, someone needs a blanket. Oh, my God. How did you know? I'm a psychic, babe. I'm psychic. Someone get her a blanket.
Okay, oh my God, look at this card. There's a man on it. And Natalie's like, who is this? Is this boyfriend? Do I need a boyfriend? He looks like an artist. Oh my God. Well, it's so funny because he looks like he's from Brooklyn. I mean, come on. This is crazy. You're reading my mind. I'm like, Natalie, you're giving her all the answers. Like, let's ixnay on the ooze clay, okay?
Yeah. And also, I like that they're looking at the actual card. They're like, oh my God, in this card, he looks like an artist. It's like, it's the drawing on the card. So they laugh. And then Erica is asking Dorit. She's like,
so did you use a co-author again? How about that? Who's going to write the book?
And she's like, I did. It's a mother-daughter duo.
A what?
Mother-daughter duo.
I don't know what you're saying. It's a mother and a daughter. All right. Yeah.
So Amanda's like, oh, like a ghostwriter? She goes, well, a co-author, ghostwriter. Sure. Whatever, whichever term you'd like. And she goes, yeah, well, I just sat down and wrote. Yeah. I just like sat down and wrote my book. So, well, it's more for time. You know, all the things I do. Let me list them. You see how long it's taking? And Amanda's like, well, I just like wrote my book. So, I mean, who doesn't just write their book? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I did? I like sat down and I wrote. That's crazy. Someone said, you want to write a book? I was like, sure. So I wrote the book. Like, she just keeps going and going.
She goes, so yeah, Dorita's like, well, you know, I have a ghostwriter. It's more for time. And Amanda goes, well, I just wrote my book. Oh, well, you must have had a lot of time. I was like, okay, the season has come to life at long last. That was such a great line when she said, you must have had a lot of time. Ooh, I love that prickly Dorit moment. And so Erica's like, I'm happy for you that you wrote a book all by yourself.
I did not. I used Brian Moylan. And Dorit definitely will not because she's an idiot. Let's face it. She can barely count to three without getting distracted. But if Dorit wrote it herself, it would never come out. Let's be honest, okay?
So well, Dorit says, for someone who claims to be an author, she sure doesn't know how to read the room.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Guys. Is that food over there? I think I need something to eat. Guys, let's, I want to talk about hats over there. Come on. It's too tense. Let's chill out, everyone. Yeah, everyone. Let's get food. Okay.
So Amanda's like, okay, well, tell me about this co-author thing, Kyle, because like, it didn't even occur to me to not just sit down and write a book. I mean, my God. She's like, I think it depends on the writing style. Yeah. Because like, I mean, I guess I'm a writer then. Cause like a big part of my job is like writing before I wrote the book. Oh my God. Amanda, congratulations. But if only people who could actually wrote biographies, there would be nothing in that section. It would be like $5. Yeah. Writing also, is, you know, something that people work at to get good at. And people like Dorit are not that. So if you ever want to know their story, you're either going to have to go to Instagram, you know, to look at all their pictures, or you're going to have them tell that story to somebody who can form a sentence.
But also her marveling at the idea of a ghostwriter is... First of all, it's a lie. She knows what a ghostwriter is, but it's obviously she's trying to flex. But like, you're 30 something, whatever. You know what a ghostwriter is. You know what it's there for. You have a book. You've heard of it. You were probably offered one when you wrote your book. Like, let's not be an idiot here. Okay.
Also,
like,
your books are extended bullshit pamphlets on manifestation, which is just like copied from 90 million other pop psychology bullshit books that have come out before you. It's not like you're writing Grapes of Wrath. Let's calm down over there. I've seen your website font. Okay, author. Yeah.
So she's basically like, yeah, it never even occurred to me to like just like not sit down and write my book. I mean, I guess I'm a writer. Like a big part of my job was just like writing before I wrote the book. Like I was a writer and that's why I just never occurred to me. And they're just like, fuck this girl. So Erica, Rachel, and Dorit are now huddled in a corner talking about Amanda. And Erica's like,
oh, I wrote my book. I wrote my book. Okay. Well, you had a lot of time on your hands. Remember when I said that before? I'm saying it again now because it was such a good diss. Diss. You've been dissed by Dorit.
But like, why are we one-upping our mediocrity achievements? You know, it's like, wow, like I wrote a book that no one's going to read. No, I actually wrote a book that no one's going to, like, who cares? Like, who reads?
Yeah, I'm like a New York Times best-selling author.
Yeah, and I'm like a two-time New York Times best-selling author. Like, why are we one-upping? Why is she one-upping so many people? Okay, how many times are you a best-selling author, Kyle? I don't tell anyone. I mean, I just told you guys after you said you were a one-time. I said I was a two-time best-selling author. But like, whatever. I hate those.
So they're all high-fiving Rachel. And she's like, Amanda, like, are you okay? Like, what? Like, isn't there something in your brain that, like, blocks you from saying something like that? Like, you don't need to put someone else down to lift yourself up.
Well, you, on Bravo, yes, you do, actually. That is true. So now Sutton joins. I mean, literally, like, almost the entire cast is standing in a tiny pack in the corner, gossiping about Amanda, which is so funny. And Rachel is like, oh, my God, isn't this the best? Oh my God. Look at this. It's caviar. Look at this caviar. Isn't this the best way to eat caviar? It's roe caviar.
Anyway, it's roe caviar. Yeah. We put roe over here and then we put Wade over there and then we just spend the dinner watching them fight.
Did you know that this caviar is like a best-selling author? Didn't even have to brag about it. It's crazy. As a new girl,
when
in town,
I opened this caviar, I told it, congratulations. I'm a 2-time best-selling author, but good job.
I die. You know, I don't like what she said about the book. Okay. As the new girl in town, like, that's fucking bold. But like, tell me what she said about you. Tell me. Someone goes, okay, well, Amanda thinks, Dorit, that you're talking too much about the divorce and that it might come back to bite you.
She said it. She has a lot of time on her hands.
And Dorit's Sutton's like, mm-hmm. And then she said she's worried about you talking too much about PK being God, I hate this word, alcoholic. Tara said it. Okay, I said it. And so we see a flashback of Amanda being like, yeah, like, Amanda, when she's with Dorit, saying, oh, yeah, I'm praying for you, Dorit, after everything you told me. I hope you get good sleep, you know, and I hope you have good vibes. And her being like, oh, thank you, Amanda, dearie. No, that is so kind. That is so kind of you.
I had lunch with Amanda several weeks back. No fish sandwich, I'd like to add. And she never expressed any single word about any of those concerns. So it's pretty odd that now she has a different opinion when my back is turned. Very odd indeed.
And so then we come back to the party. And she's like,
for the record, I didn't out PK. He did that by being a flagrant, insane, over-the-top poster boy, poster child for alcoholism. Full blown.
I didn't out him. I would never, ever, ever discuss it without his approval. I specifically said, Piquet, I'm going to call you a full-blown alcoholic on television. He loved it. He loved the idea. Absolutely loved it.
Piquet, if you don't want me to call you a full-blown alcoholic, you have the next 3 seconds to respond to this email. 3, 2, 1. I will take that as a yes. That's okay. See, I approved. I got approval.
Kathy finally comes and Jennifer is sitting down for her reading and they pull a card for her and she's like, oh my God, this card has not come out the entire time. It's one of my favorites.
Is it Chanel?
No, it's a picture. It's called the Empress. See, look, it's an Empress. Isn't that nice? It's an Empress.
She's pregnant and she's sitting cross-legged in the grass. And Jennifer's like,
oh, well, maybe she had one too many pizzas. Not pregnant with possibility, of course. I'm not pregnant. I can tell you that much. I am hungry, though. Is there pizza here? This lady's told me I'm about to eat one.
Well, look at this. Oh my God, here's another one. And it's a lady on this card who's blonde. What do you think about that, Jennifer?
This one looks like my friend Sutton. She's wearing a pink and holding a cake just like Sutton. Oh, does she have one where she's holding the head of the decapitated head of an assistant who didn't bring her the proper round ice cubes and is now shit-talking her in gay bars?
So Jennifer says that like Sutton is her very good friend of 18 years. And the psychic is like, do you feel like, you know, is she someone you feel like you can lean on a little bit? And Jennifer's like, ugh, she sort of does this prayer hands like, yes, it's so true.
Don't you think that the psychic, I was getting the vibe that the psychic was like, oh, here's a blonde lady.
She's like, oh yeah, Sutton.
And Sutton,
she's wonderful. She's been my friend of 18 years.
I felt like this lady was like, this blonde lady's about to come for you. You know?
Yeah.
Jennifer is just like,
no, we're friends. Everything's great with Sutton.
So Sutton, meanwhile, has interesting things to talk about. She's like, guys, did you see when we were on the plane and Bose's peanuts went everywhere? And Kathy's like, what? Peanuts. Oh, peanuts. I thought you said penis. Oh, where's Bose anyway? And Amanda's like, oh, her egg retrieval was Wednesday. It's funny because it's just like when I got my egg retrieval, it was on a Tuesday. So it's just like one day earlier in the week. I don't know. Just like a little bit better day in the week.
Sutton, I had my cards done and the card came up that looked like you and she was wearing a pink dress and holding a cake and I said, this is Sutton. And then the card said, shut up. card was kind of mean to me, but, you know, I take it because the card was going through a very hard time and I support the card. So where's the cake? Do you have a cake? Please have a cake. Why don't you have a cake, Sutton?
So Sutton's basically like, can we talk? So they go over to talk. She goes, okay, so I have to talk to you about this because my feelings are super hurt. I talked to Kyle and Kyle told me that you said I'm always the one stirring up trouble and that's why Garcelle doesn't want to be friends with me. And we, by the way, we see a flashback to this in about a second where Jennifer does not say any of those words.
She doesn't whatsoever. Say that at all. What are you talking about? Kyle didn't even say that. I mean, Kyle was an asshole for running straight to you to tell on Jennifer, but Kyle told it at least somewhat truly. Sutton's just making stuff up.
She's like, well, Sutton, I didn't say that. Well, that's why Garcelle didn't want to be friends with me, really. No, I didn't say that.
And so we see Jennifer saying she doesn't like to be snapped at for no reason. And all of her friends give Sutton a pass because she's so fragile, but it's just too much. And that's one of the reasons Garcelle left, because it's always all about Sutton. So right. Jennifer is like, well, I felt like I needed to leave the room because I felt like, why am I here if I can't speak?
And I was venting a little bit and I don't remember exactly what I said, but maybe it was similar to what I was feeling. And if I had it all to do over, I would say, where's the cake? You were holding the cake in the card.
And basically Jennifer says that, like, after Garcelle left, she started to reexamine her own relationship with Sutton. And, you know, she sort of had this feeling of, like, you know, like, I would never speak to Sutton in the way that Sutton spoke to me. And so it was, like, really unfair that she spoke to me in that way, which is a very fair feeling to have. So Sutton's like, well, it just took me back to the past. It took me from Brown to Strack. And because I've just been really hard, I'm trying so hard not to be so reactive. I don't want us to mess up. Okay, yeah. Listen, Sutton, I really appreciate that you're trying really hard not to be so reactive, but, like, that's why you're on this show. Please be reactive. That's what I need from you, Sutton. I need you to be reactive at all times because that's my pleasure zone.
Well, and also, Sutton, you were reactive in that moment. You were rude. You were shitty. You snapped at everybody, but you snapped at your best friend and upset her. And she's being honest with you and telling you that now. And you're still not apologizing. You're forgiving her. Like, what the fuck? Like, come on, man. You are in the wrong. Apologize to your friend, you know? And sure, Jennifer was in the wrong about talking about it, but Jennifer's apologizing. And Sutton's just like, okay, you're forgiven. Let's just let that go now. I'm like, oh, no.
Sutton should that's be Sutton's nicer problem. To Jennifer.
Yeah, yeah, Sutton needs to get her shit together because that's not cool.
So Sutton's saying, I have started to do work on myself. And, but in Sedona, I snapped at Jennifer and I should not have done that. And I need to take a minute to breathe. Or as my mama would tell me, count to five. Yeah, that's right. That's what you pay thousands of dollars for therapy. Count to five. So poor Jennifer, she's choked up. Like, she clearly is, you know, she's uncomfortable with confrontation clearly. And they love each other. They hug. And Jennifer's like, I'm really sorry. And I'm going to do better. But because I want to be a ride or die. And she's like, well, we are that. Mainly, you know, we're best friends. So come on. So they go.
I like
go
what back. Jennifer called it.
I want us to be a ride and die. That's what we're going to be. We're going to ride together and we're going to die together.
She's like, we are. Come on, baby movie star. Come on. You're not going to get an apology from me. But come on. I like to see tears. That was fun. So we go back to Dorit's reading. And Dorit's like, oh, who? For someone who needs a ghostwriter, I'm sure getting a reading, Amanda. And so she's like, don't be afraid. Tell me everything, anything, even if it's bad or what have you. PK, full-blown ill-gooly.
Is there a card for Pringles?
So the psychic gathers her tarot cards and a card just flops out by accident. And it's like, I don't know. You did tarot, right? I don't know. Was that the death card or the swords card or whatever it was?
It was guy. Like the seven of swords or something, like sticking out of a brain. And this was like the only drawing we've seen that's not like some chick lit, like beach read cover. And it's just like an open brain with like seven knives stabbing down into it. She's like, oh my good. What does that mean? Oh, the swords sticking out of a head.
I believe this is the noise roughly that was coming out of her eyeballs in that moment.
Young ladies, yeah! Welcome Come on. Cheers.
I'm now officially getting the impression that this lady doesn't know what the fuck she's doing, because every time she picks a card, she's like, this is a blonde lady. So there's a blonde lady. There's a blonde lady on the. Oh, look, there's a man on the card. I see a man coming into your life. Like, she's really bad. And this one, there's swords sticking out of the head. And she goes, well, it's, I guess, an ending, like a hard ending. Yeah, there's knives sticking in the brain, lady.
But also, like, a lot of, like, that's still pretty generic. I have to say, later in the evening, when we have the Valley Persian style, there's a psychic on there who does some very good work. Like, she's giving specific details about choreography from childhood. And this lady is like, meals you've eaten within the past 7 days, haven't you?
I did. How did you know that?
So you digest food? So now it's time for dinner. Everybody gathers around the table and Rachel's like, oh my God, speech time. Wow. Hot girl summer. Am I right? It better be started. Like, thank God I keep like 600 candles on hand. Cause like otherwise death. Okay. Enjoy your food. Like, I'll enjoy watching you eat it.
By the way, I'm missing Bose right now, but she did call me and give me permission to share the news, which is she was upgraded to presidential suite. Yeah. Great news in Vegas. Great news. She spent a lot on the table.
She's got like eggs happening, and she also got three of the Audrey 2 monster on the Little Shop of Horrors machine and won like $100. So it was pretty cool. They're like, ooh, yay for Bose.
She has a yard long right now with Margarita. She's having a great time. So she got, we do have an update, which is that Bose was able to get two eggs and they'll be tested for growth.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now the women are like talking and serving themselves and everything, and they're learning about Natalie's talking to Amanda, and Natalie's like, so where are you from? Amanda's like, I'm from Oklahoma, but I moved to Montecito in 2017 because I'm the money queen. And I basically like wrote so many books up there because I'm like really talented. So yeah, you're welcome for knowing me.
Yeah. So Amanda's like, don't forget, I need a reading. And she's like, yeah, I had a feeling you might say that. She goes, oh, what are you, psychic? To the psychic. So Amanda's like, yeah, I've been to psychics. I've been to energy healers. I've been to intuitive guide. Like, yeah, I've stolen everything from them. I'm Amanda Francis. I'm like, woo woo shit. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows I'm Amanda Francis. So, Angie, go ahead.
Angie pulls a card that's like next to, it's a woman near a money tree. And Amanda's like, motherfucking money tree. Like, talk to me about this. Money queen. You know about the money queen? That's me. That's me. So Angie's like, you are a manifester times 100. Do people say that to you a lot? She's like, I write books. I write books on manifesting for a living. Like, I wrote a book called Rich as Fuck. That's so hilarious.
And so Angie's like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm so psychic. And she goes, so are you a medium as well? And she goes, I mean, sometimes, but I can't really control it. But depends, if you tell me exactly really what you want me to say, I could do that. She's like, so do you feel anything on me? She goes, no, I can't. She goes, that's okay. My child died. And so I was like, oh my gosh. So then she tells her that this is the anniversary of her child's death. And she was hoping this was a moment that the child would come through. And she's like, okay, can we just go back to the cards? the poor lady is like,
and she's like,
she's like, count to five. Hey, wait a minute. You stole that from my mother.
I was impressed that Angie the psychic did not try to like bullshit her way through being a medium. She's like,
yeah,
you know what? I'm on camera. I'm just gonna say, no, I'm not feeling anything. But this was actually quite sad because, well, of course the day is inherently sad for Amanda and everything about it is sad. But it is sad when she, you know, she, considering that she's really into all the woo-woo shit, she's talked about how Eddie is constantly having these moments where he feels Zion and she never feels it. Never feels Zion. And she's like really trying to have these moments to feel Zion and she can't get there. And I was like, that's so sad. That's like really, really, really like heartbreaking.
So then back at the dinner table, Kyle's like, so did you talk to Jennifer Sutton? What happened? Did you talk to fucking Kyle? My God, give it a rest. Jesus. So she's like, well, she didn't remember saying it. And Kyle goes, oh, so you think I made it up? She's like, no, not necessarily. But, you know, we can talk about it in front of y'all. I was kind of gutted and my breath was taken away. And Jennifer's like,
well, we're making a mountain out of a molehill, actually, which I don't, you know.
It's like she's visibly uncomfortable.
Are you calling me a mole? Are you saying I'm a mole? Am I a little rodent? Is that what you're trying to say? She's like,
well, I remember things, but like, I don't remember what they were. But like, because I'm always very protective of you in our friendship, it wasn't me being like, oh, what a bitch, right? You know? And so Kathy's like, what's going on down there? Is it about Booze's penis?
Nothing's going on. Kyle was asking us about a thing, and then it got quiet, and then people started coming up. Am I making things worse? I don't even know. And Erica's like, no, you're not making things worse. Oh, God, somebody do something at this goddamn party where all the dicks were supposed to paint. Jesus Christ.
And Rico, speaking of context about things flowing out of moves. Because I think you're going to be fine, Jennifer, whatever. So... Now,
I'm putting a button on your fight. Your fight is done now. That was nice.
I want to get your take, Amanda, on the discussion of my divorce. Because I heard you had concerns about the way I've been speaking about the father of my children. So,
Kyle and I spoke a little bit about how it could make your situation harder with the custody, so... That's basically it. And Kyle's like, where did you hear this, by the way? Where did you hear this? You didn't like, can we get mad at someone else? And of course, she's like, I heard it from Sutton. So Sutton's like, what? Huh? What? Huh? And Amanda's like, what day was this, by the way?
Well, do you think it? Because it doesn't matter what day it was. If it came out of your mouth, would it be different on a Tuesday than it would be on a full-blown alcoholic day?
Amanda's like, can I be really, really honest? Zion died 3 years ago, and I'm just hanging on by a thread. And everyone's like, oh. And then Kathy goes, is that your dog? She goes, my son. And then it cuts to commercial, and I was like, oh my God. Is that your dog? Oh my God.
So we come back and she's like, no, that's Kanan's twin. And everybody's like, oh my God, holy shit. And Rachel's like, oh my God, I had no idea. And Sutton's like, oh my God, no, what? No, how did nobody know? And so everybody looks distraught. I mean, like completely mortified, you know, and right. They don't know what to say. And so there's a big long pause and Dorit just goes,
wow, I'm sorry. You know, that it landed on a day like this. Maybe we'll have the conversation again. Right now. But I'm just curious. Because having an opinion as someone who doesn't know me, my situation, or my husband, and actually said to me that you thought about me and you prayed for me. And she goes, yeah, but that was all true. I have been thinking about you because you're going through a hard time. And I think that day, Dorit just doesn't give it up. I was cringing my butthole.
I was like, Dorit.
Oh my God.
She's like, I think I agreed with Kyle. I don't remember having very many strong feelings about it other than agreeing with you, Kyle, which was great. I love that she actually did this because, you know, Kyle was happy to have Amanda, you know, take all the heat. And so it's like, us. So Kyle's like, I don't really recall. And so we see a flashback of 1 week earlier and Kyle and Amanda are talking about the divorce. And Kyle's like, she's clearly very upset. Cuckoo caca, am I right? I mean, PK says like, he's actually been an angel. And Dorit is like, crazy. And Amanda is like, yeah, but bringing it all to her friends over and over, is that very wise? And Kyle's like, it worries me. So we see that like Kyle was just as guilty as Amanda in this situation.
Kyle was more guilty because she was the one bringing it up. Amanda was just commenting on what Kyle was saying. Right. As far as I can. Right. So anyway, Dorit's like, oh, so do you think you hijacked Kyle's thoughts? Who has known me for 10 years and made it your own thoughts? Is that maybe what you did? And Kyle's just like, oh, she's just like looking away, doing that Kyle like awkward. And Amanda's like, do you think it's fair to bring this to me when I just shared what I'm going through today? Like, this is a hard day. My kid died. And she goes, well, listen, you can say that. I'm like, oh, no, Dorit, no, you're doing it again? No.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's once this card has been played, it's kind of like you know, this is like saying we're postponing the game. There's thunderstorms. This baseball game has been postponed until Tuesday. You know, like,
listen, Amanda's- and from the other side, you can, you know, from the other side, of course, there is the argument, like, bringing up your child's death in, like, a petty argument on Housewives to, like, as a blocker is mm-hmm. maybe not that tasteful, okay? And then saying, like, my kid died. Okay. You know, everyone deals with things in their own way. But the fact is, even if you think it's a card and someone shouldn't be playing that card and it's not fair, et cetera, it is still a card you don't fuck with. That is a card.
That's one of the
you
cards.
You just don't do it. Like, what's wrong yep. with you?
100%. 100%. So, I mean, I have to, when Amanda said it, I 100% believe this is something that is consuming her. I also felt a little cringy because the cynic in me felt like she was trying to kind of say, stopping this conversation. Right. But like you said, for whatever reason that it came up, it is like, it is a hard stop at that point.
Yeah.
to read. I'm going to drive this car through the wall.
She is really so just like, listen, she says, listen, you can say that. And she goes, yeah, you're not very kind. She says, Amanda, I'm not trying to be anything other than conversational. And if you're not ready to have this conversation, it's fine. I respect your wishes 100%. And she's like, I was saying it could make a custody hearing more complicated. Oh, so we can have the conversation because I'm happy to. I'm like, oh, no, oh my God, just stop, like, just want- please.
She's like, I just want to go home.
Okay, so then we should have the conversation another time. How about in about 30 seconds? Okay, I'll count down. And then are you ready then? That's what I'm hearing.
And Amanda's like, no. So Amanda gets up. Now Amanda's like crying. She's totally distraught. And she's like, thank you, Rachel. You're a wonderful hostess. Rachel's like, I'm sorry. I didn't know. And Amanda's like, I just want to go home and hold Eddie and like talk about what today is. So she goes out and Kyle, of course, follows her. And he's like, well, that's great timing. She didn't say anything at all. So Amanda, like, I'm not the bad one. You're the bad one for not warning me that you were going to be pulling that card on me today.
So, oh my gosh. So awkward. Dorit says that Amanda shared at Jennifer Tilly's party that she had lost a baby, but they didn't know it was today. And if she had known, she wouldn't have said anything to her. Yeah, but she did say, and you just kept going. You dummy.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. You 100% would have. So Amanda's at the at the front door about to leave. And Kyle's like, oh, I hate seeing you leave like this before you get into a fight with Sutton. Oh, my God. And Amanda's like, I just should be with my family right now. And then Kathy joins. And she's like, hi, honey. Everyone feels really, really, really bad. And Amanda's like, only one person should feel bad. It's Dorit. So Kyle, they're all like consoling her. So Kathy's like, wait a second. We're going to fix this. So she goes back and she's like, I'm going to get Dorit. Hold on. Dorit, get over here.
So Amanda's saying she came at me accusatory with a very attacking style of energy. And the second I explained what was going on, that should have ended it, which, I mean, good point. So at the dinner table, Erica's like, oh, God, I mean, I knew about the kid, but geez, I didn't know it was today. And so they're feeling bad. And then Kathy is like, listen, she's like, I think you should go in there and talk to her. She's like, listen to me, Kathy. I respect it's the anniversary of her son's death, and I don't need to have any conversation with her. She goes, just go and be the bigger person. We're not forgiving anything. Just go ahead and do it. I mean, we're talking about a death of a child and possibly a dog. I wasn't really sure. I didn't hear the whole thing.
Following. I really zoned out after I asked that question. So
I just kept thinking about my own dogs. God, I love those. I love my dogs.
So Dorit walks out to see Amanda and she hugs her and she's like, oh, bubbly. And she tries to like wipe away a tear. And Dorit's like, Amanda, I'm so sorry you're going through this right as I was trying to ask you a very important question. And I didn't know. Obviously, you didn't say anything. And as a mother, I cannot think of anything worse in my life. Just so you know. But again, just a reminder, you didn't say anything. Okay. So
don't touch me. Don't touch me right now, please. Just please don't touch me right now.
Okay.
Please.
Well, it was a nice gesture. I think a lot of people would have been very complimented to be touched by a future best-selling author. But if you want to be unburdened on bookshelves in April by my finger, then that's fine.
But like I told you, my kid died and you kept going like really strong. So.
Well, which I said, I respect. And I you continued the conversation.
Yeah, because I was trying to get what you were saying, though.
Okay, but I don't want to have the conversation right now. I want to respect the fact that you don't want to have the conversation. I would like to have a conversation about how you don't want to have a conversation, but you don't want to have a conversation about how I want to have a conversation about how you don't want to have a conversation. Do you understand?
Yeah, but like you very, I don't think it's true because you wanted to go at it out there after I told you what I was going through and you did keep going. So like if someone told me their kid died, I definitely would have just like given them a hug. So.
And she's like, well, okay, well, I apologize that I didn't, but I just came out here right now to give you a hug. So why don't you go and good night, Amanda.
Yeah. And so like, okay, bye. And she leaves and then Rachel just looks around. She's like, oh my God, fuck. Wow. And that's like, the end.
Yikes. Wow. It was definitely, it was so cringeworthy, but I also love that. Like, I love a cringeworthy moment on one of these shows. And made me happy, made me excited. By the way, you know what moment I also really enjoyed that I feel like we totally missed? There was one moment where Sutton was eating caviar and she got on herself. She's like, now I've got caviar all over me and I don't have a cocktail party. Rachel, you don't even have cocktail napkins. I loved her like mini meltdown about the cocktail napkin to Rachel Zoe. That was great. Like,
but I do. Where are the cocktail napkins? Where's me? Get me.
Trash party is this in the first place. Anyway, I just wanted to put that out there because I loved that moment. Thanks everyone for being here. Go join our Patreon, listen ad free, check out our bonus episode for the traders, keep an eye out for the newsletter, get tickets for the crappies, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber Way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
Happy are we, it's Allison with an I.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.